The big question in business: does another drop in weekly jobless claims mean the Labor Department's getting stronger?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The number of people filing for first-time unemployment benefits fell last week by 17,000. That's the second drop in the Labor Department's report in 3 weeks. Marketplace's David Gura is with us live from Washington to help us hash out what all this data means. Good morning, David.
Hey, Steve.
So these numbers are the second lowest of the year. How excited should we be about that?
Of course, any bright spot on the jobs front is good news. Economists had expected more people to file for unemployment benefits for the first time, so that's hopeful. But keep in mind, we need to add 100,000 jobs a month just to keep up with population growth, just to keep things stable. The four-week average of new jobless claims is considered a more accurate measure. And it also fell to the lowest level since before the heart of the economic crisis.
Yeah, that's the four-week moving average. David, you know this is a weekly jobless report that sometimes has ups and downs. Sometimes it surprises us. Is there a reason we're paying so much attention to it right now?
Because the economy still isn't in great shape, there's this hunger for indicators, for any indication, really, of where we're headed. I talked to Heidi Shierholz. She's with the Economic Policy Institute.
Because the situation is at such a crisis level right now, everyone seems to be just hanging on each of these releases as they come out.
And she says that's probably not a good thing. These numbers still fluctuate, like we've been talking about, and they'll probably continue to jump around a lot.
They certainly do. All right. So that said, David, is there anything we can draw from these numbers? What's the takeaway from all this?
Well, for one thing, these indicators usually aren't that solid during the holiday season. They're pretty volatile, so that's something to keep in mind. Heidi Shierholz says there isn't just a lot of interest in these numbers. There's a lot of pressure for them to improve. What we saw today, combined with what we've been seeing on average over the last couple of weeks, gives us some sense the economy may be improving.
All right. Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. David, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. The global stocks are mostly higher at the moment. Japan revised its economic growth numbers up. The South Korean Central Bank kept its key interest rate steady. Wall Street yesterday, some modest gains. Under 0.5%, the Dow tacked on 13 points to close at 11,372. We're going to get a report later this morning from the U.S. Surgeon General on the effects of tobacco. Health studies over the years have attributed to a reduction in smoking. In the last 5 years alone, as a matter of fact, cigarette sales have dropped 17%. So the tobacco industry is turning its attention to a new kind of product, smokeless tobacco. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
These days, smokeless tobacco is more than the stuff you chew. It also comes in small teabag-like packets. Gilbert Ross is medical director of the American Council on Science and Health.
Then we also have Orbs, tobacco lozenges, basically, that dissolve in your mouth.
Orbs are sold under the Camel label. Tobacco giants are investing heavily in smokeless products. They're hoping that smokers who quit cigarettes will pick up tobacco of another sort under the same brand. Morningstar analyst Phil Gorham says sales of these products are growing around 7% a year.
People who are quitting are migrating into this category. But it's a pipe dream to think that smokeless tobacco will eventually become the key revenue driver.
Gorham says that key revenue driver will continue to be cigarettes, and smokeless products may face tougher regulations. The Food and Drug Administration is looking at products like Orbs. They look like candy and could lure kids to take up tobacco, smokeless or otherwise. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
17 years ago, then-Vice President Al Gore, presiding over the Senate, broke a tie and voted to keep ethanol tax credits alive. Today, Gore calls that vote a mistake, and so do a lot of other folks who say it's subsidizing corn farmers. As Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports from the Sustainability Desk, there's a movement now to end ethanol subsidies.
This may be the only issue that many liberals and Tea Party activists agree on. Both MoveOn.org and FreedomWorks have signed a letter urging Congress to let the 45-cent per gallon ethanol subsidy expire at the end of the month. A bipartisan group of 17 U.S. senators wrote a similar missive. So what's with the sudden left-right love fest?
It's because of the uniquely bad nature of ethanol policy these days.
Nathaniel Green is with the Natural Resources Defense Council. He says the government should not be backing the corn-based fuel.
It has more global warming pollution than gasoline, and is costing taxpayers about $5.5 billion this year and about $6 billion next year. So both fiscal conservatives and environmentalists are feeling like it's time to stop wasting our money.
But Jeff Broyne begs to differ. He's CEO of POET, the largest ethanol producer in the world.
The ethanol tax credit has a tremendous return to the United States government. Just in tax revenues alone from the industry, it offsets itself by about 2 to 1.
Broyne also says cutting ethanol support will hurt investor confidence in the next generation of biofuels, like switchgrass. Although ethanol's under fire right now, it still has some support in Congress, especially from Farm Belt lawmakers. The Center for Public Integrity reports that ethanol-related groups gave almost $1 million to nearly 200 candidates in the past two election cycles. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, as we learn today on this program about falling weekly jobless claims, the American job market seems to be making a comeback. Share prices at headhunter firms such as Manpower and Kelly Services are at year-long highs, meaning investors are confident in the prospects of putting people to work. And workers seem to be more confident, too. More people are leaving their current jobs with the belief that other work is available. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says there's been a near 20% rise over the last year alone in the number of employees quitting and saying, take this job and you know the rest. In Los Angeles, and I might add, proud of my current employment, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Companies like Pepsi and American Express are giving away money to nonprofits that win company contests, not necessarily because their cause is the most important.
These things always seem to be crafted with an eye toward what's going to make a splash, what's going to be a story, what are journalists going to be interested in.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. When some nonprofits win, who loses out? The story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.